Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Today I'm going to somewhat deconstruct an article, very informative, and it's by Jonathan Soderberg with an umlaut over the O, Jonathan Soderberg. It's on Marxist.com, so I'll say right away that I'm not a Marxist, I'm not a socialist. There are very positive things about socialist ways, but the whole topic of socialism and this and that is not the point of this. But that is to say that's the author, where the author is coming from. Some people are so against socialism, but then would they want to give up their Social Security money? That's one question. Anyway, this is an interesting book that connects with interesting article that connects with literature. The title, Ukraine, 100 million Russian books in line for ban. So I'm just going to pick out some of the highlights and go over it. The director of the Ukrainian Book Institute for the Ministry of Culture. Whenever you see a phrase like the Ministry of Culture, warning, they will begin working towards withdrawing over 100 million so-called quote-unquote propaganda books from public libraries in Ukraine. Contradiction right there, there's public libraries, but the director of the Ministry of Culture is making the decision? The books, including the works of the world-renowned writers and poets Dostoevsky and Pushkin, may be sent to paper recycling centers. And after the disposal of such, quote, harmful, unquote, literature, Ukrainian public and school libraries will be left with about 100 million books, half of their current total. Then it goes on to mention some of the other book banning that's gone on. And let's see, in 2018, the Russian language edition of Stalingrad by British historian Anthony Brever was banned. Although the ban was later lifted due to pressures from the British embassy, the reason for the ban? A passage describing the murder of 90 Jewish children by the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, of which Nazi collaborator Stefan Bandera was a leading figure. This is the same Bandera who in 2021 was honored by the Ukrainian Institute of National Memory through inclusion in a virtual necropolis commemorating important historical figures alongside two commanders of SS battalions who carried out pogroms against Jews. So these are the people that are banning the books. One of the books they banned in 2018 described, let's repeat this so you get the point here, described the murder of 90 Jewish children by a Nazi collaborator, Stepan Bandera, who is now revered in Ukraine. So farther on in the article, is hardly, and I had mentioned earlier in a previous episode about the whole idea about some of the attacks on the Donbass region had to do with the language. So here it says, it is hardly novel for governments to crack down on free speech, and no pun intended there, it is hardly novel for governments to crack down on free speech in times of war. But this attack is just the latest of many attacks against the status of Russian language in Ukraine that long precede the war. One-third of Ukrainians regard Russian as their native tongue. Yet in 2017, a law was tabled stating that Ukrainian must be the language used at all levels of education, with Russia and other minority languages only recognized for instruction at preschool and primary school level. Now, you'll recall recently I've been mentioning the native boarding schools in Canada and the U.S. that also prohibited the use of the native languages, of which before Columbus got here, there were 6,000 nations and about six as many languages, 6,000. Okay, the article goes on. Let's see. Zelensky had promised to throw this law out, but soon reneged on his promises. He's not a politician, he's an actor. This is just a continuation of the chauvinist policies of Ukrainian government since the 2014 Maidan coup, which have repeatedly clamped down on the democratic rights of Russian speakers while glorifying historical Nazis and Nazi collaborators and permitting fascist gangs free reign across the country for years. So as a friend of mine pointed out, what about banning Mein Kampf? That was Hitler's classic. Anybody calling for banning that? I have not heard that, and I don't know that it should be banned. What if I want to study the psychology of Nazis, the psychology of psychopathic master superior race ideology? I might order Mein Kampf. I don't want to read that book, but I might want to read it to study it so I could help rid the world of such psychology. But if you're gonna ban books, you might as well ban that one. But I'm not for banning books. Also worth mentioning is that these people banning the books, the same country is the same one that the US has given and other European nations, other Western European nations have given, the US has given $65 billion. And if you're hashtag standing with Ukraine, who are you standing with? Which Ukrainians are you standing with? Are you standing with the book banners? Yes, I'm asking these rhetorical, sarcastic questions to make a point. And let's see, the article also remains that this is the same government which is supposedly fighting for democracy, a fight for which it is receiving billions of pounds worth of support from Western governments. All Marxists must stand on the side of the international working class in opposition to these attacks from the Ukrainian government, in opposition to the crocodile-tiered imperialists in NATO, and in opposition to Putin's invasion. War will only always bring horror, and capitalism will always bring war. The only way forward is for the workers of all countries to take power in their hands through a socialist world revolution. Well, that's where I'm not going to agree with all that. I'm not versed enough in socialist ways enough. I think there's a lot of positives, but I don't think that's the only way. I think, yes, capitalism is flailing, and there needs to be other forms of economical ways that function more fairly, of course. But I don't know that a socialist world revolution is the thing, so I'm not going to get into that. And so one of the key points about any talk of economics, whether it's capitalist, socialist, or whatever, is that if it ignores the earth and where stuff's come from, where the energies come from, then it's, you know, basically talking numbers and profits and losses and all that kind of stuff. Also, maybe the author knows, but not mentioned, that Putin's invasion was also in response, which is common knowledge if anybody has the mind to look online somewhere other than the mainstream, that maybe even mentioned in the mainstream, but 8 years, for 8 years prior to, quote, Putin's invasion, Ukraine, with neo-Nazis in the mix, have been bombing that Donbass region, killing 14,000 people, is the reports. So who invaded first? Another rhetorical question. But back to the literature. Here's the point. The literature gets into the politics, and the politics gets into how to care for people, how to respect free thinking, how to respect being able to pick the information that you want to learn from. I guess any bottom line would be that it does not harm other people. So that's but then there's discussion of what's harmful, because they're claiming harmful literature, but what is that? So I don't know how far that will go, all that book banning, but I think it's of much concern. As far as the information, the knowledge, classical literature, simple enjoyment of reading. I'll wrap up by mentioning once again in my book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, I have a section about the what's called biblioclasm book burnings. So this isn't, banning is a mild form of the, well, they said they were going to send the paper to the recycling, so that's a mild form of book burning, but this has been done over and over throughout history when the authoritarian types, the control freaks, feel that their ways are threatened. So the Mayan people, with their codices of the Yucatan in the 16th century, this is a Franciscan monk and conquistador. We found a large number of books in these characters, and as they contained nothing in which were not to be seen as superstitions and lies, they were burned. So that's his opinion. It's probably more truth in there than that so-called monk ever thought of. And then in 1193 AD, in Nalanda University, the most renowned repository of Buddhist knowledge in the world, was sacked by Turkic Muslim invaders under the perpetrator. This event is seen as a milestone in the decline of Buddhism in India. England, 1530s, monastic libraries dispersed following the dissolution of monasteries by Henry VIII. The Library of Al-Hakam, Cordoba, Andalus, 976 AD. All books consisting of ancient science were destroyed in a surge of ultra-orthodoxy. So these are the types that do these kinds of things are extremists. Ultra-orthodox. Franciscan monk conquistador during the Spanish conquest. King Henry VIII. So this is what is mentioned here. These neo-Nazis are extremist types, ideologies that have no sense of balanced thinking, of entertaining possible different ideas at the same time. So this is nothing new, but it must be called out for what it is. And you know, as information can go by the wayside, it's important to call it out, to protect what can be protected, and to be fair about it. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Be well.